Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, have you ever had a staring contest with a shadow person, or was it just Seth?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
We'd love to hear your real ghost stories, so if you've got one, share it with us. You can call it in, 855-853-4802. If you like to write, write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And becoming a premium subscriber is always an option for you. You get advanced episodes, access to the archive, all without the commercials. Sign up today through Apple Podcasts. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. And I'm Carol Hughes. Kathy Gordon's here. And I got to tell you, in the 1 million stories I've heard while hosting and co-hosting this show for 6 years, I've never heard a story about a staring contest with a shadow person.
Well, is it staring or is it you can't take your eyes off it? Like you're in a trance, like you're, you know what I mean?
I don't know.
Like they're staring at you and like you can't look away?
Seth thinks he had a stare down with a shadow person.
Interesting.
So that's why I said, was it just Seth?
Well, I think I need more information. Tell me the story.
So here it is. It says, from a very young age, I had a fascination with the paranormal. I remember being 5 or so and using my dad's computer to play some kind of ghost hunting game he had. My parents never liked it because most of the time, things like that would give me nightmares. And it never goes over well with parents when their child asks to sleep in their bed with them because of nightmares. So fast forward a few years, I'm 21 now. Story I'm about to share happened around the time I was 15 or 16. It wasn't my first genuine experience with the paranormal, but it is my most memorable. My parents got a divorce around the time I was 6. I lived with my mother until around the age of 11 or so. I'd gotten into a bit of trouble at school and had to move in with my dad to switch schools. The way the house was laid out, there was a separate door that led into a hallway from the living room. You could turn right at that door into another door that led to the basement, or you could turn left and find my bedroom. I never did like that basement, always felt like kind of off-putting to me, and I hated being in that bedroom so close to the door that led to the basement, especially since it felt so isolated to the other parts of the house because of the door you had to go through to get to the living room. I was asleep one night in bed when the door to the basement slammed open out of absolutely nowhere. I'm not a very heavy sleeper, so of course it woke me up. Both my stepmom and my dad were extremely heavy sleepers. We had a television that you could set the timer to turn the television on at a certain time, so they would turn the channel to one of those channels that play nothing but music all of the time and turn the volume all the way up as an alarm clock. And most of the time, that wouldn't wake them. So naturally, I woke up to the noise. I heard the door crash open, and I groggily opened my eyes, halfway expecting to see my massive CRT television to have fallen off of my dresser. What's a CRT television?
I don't know.
I don't either. But it was massive.
Okay.
So Seth thought that the massive television had fallen off the dresser. After a couple of seconds of rubbing my eyes, the blurriness started disappearing and I saw a shadow standing at the door to the basement, illuminated by nothing but the moonlight coming through the window. It was a shadowy figure that stood about the same height as me, about 5'7", 5'8", at the time, had no facial features that I could make out. It stood there staring at me, or at least in my direction, for a few minutes. I stared back at it too, too afraid to move or make a sound. Then out of nowhere, it began to recede back towards the basement. It rounded the corner before you got to the stairs, and I saw it disappear as it went down the stairs, the door slowly shutting behind it as it got further out of sight. That gave me the jeebs.
Yeah. Ugh. That's creepy.
That's creepy. I stayed up the rest of the night and in the morning asked if anyone had heard what I'd heard the night before. Neither my dad nor my stepmom had heard anything at all that night. If they were awake, I'm sure they would have heard it. But being as heavy sleepers as they are, it's no wonder they didn't wake up. I know you could say it was just sleep paralysis, but I'd been experiencing sleep paralysis for quite some time, relatively frequently before that experience, and I know how it felt. And I still had control over all of my muscles and was able to speak freely. That's my story. I do have more that I may write in at another time. I would love to hear this on the air. Maybe other people have had staring contests with shadow people too. I'd like to know if they have. Thanks for doing a wonderful job with the show, Seth. I do think that one's interesting because he had experienced sleep paralysis in the past, so he knew what that felt like, and this was different.
Yeah.
And a loud crash woke him up to the point he thought it was his TV had fallen off the dresser.
CRT, by the way, is an old school TV that had the tubes in it.
Oh, super heavy. Yeah, so that would crash.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is all different then, because that woke him up. He thought it was so loud that it's like it had to be the TV falling off. And that would scare the crap out of you, because that's happened to me. You wake up to this really deafening crash and there's no explanation for it. But in his case, then he sees something standing there.
Yeah.
Oof.
And then the door shuts behind it.
And it goes in the basement where he already's got the creepy vibes from the basement.
Yeah, he already didn't like the basement. He didn't even like being in the room close to the basement door. You know.
I don't like anything about that. And I don't know. It's interesting because he didn't say anything like after that happened again. So it makes me think that that whole thing was just kind of a one-off where that happened that one night.
Well, he said there's other stories.
Other stories, but that was the most scary one. He didn't talk about that guy coming back.
But there might be more things that happened in that house, too, that we don't know about.
Oh, I think there were more things that happened in the house. I don't know that anything like that.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty intense.
Yeah. Because if he would have seen the shadow person again, he would have said something. About seeing it
Let
again.
Us know, Seth, if you saw it again.
Don't like it. I hate to say this, but I'm glad that happened to Seth and not me. I wouldn't be
that
doing
one's a
so
scary.
Good.
That's a scary story.
Here is our next story.
Hi, my name is Catherine. I'm coming to you from Daytona Beach, Florida. But the story I'm about to tell you is took place in Syracuse, New York. It didn't happen to me, although I did have several things happen to me in the same house in the same area, but this actually happened to my aunt. She built a house, a beautiful house, I would say about a decade ago, on a Native American burial ground. If you're familiar with Syracuse, it's very, very prominent. Like, the Native American history is very rich there. And she built a house on a Native American burial ground, like I said. During the building of her house, they found a lot of arrowheads, different things like that. And she built her home, and it was completely built when this took place. But she started digging gardens, beautiful, beautiful gardens, big yard to plant on and stuff like that. And she was digging one day about a year after living there, and she started digging the garden, everything was normal, and then she would go inside and she'd start hearing like knocking on her door, knocking on windows, and then she started hearing her name being whispered. So she would call my grandfather when she was kind of like scared and nervous, and he would come over and keep her company. So it wouldn't happen as much when he was there, but I know he did hear it occasionally. But after this was happening for a few days, she kept digging in the garden, and she dug up books. They were very old, ancient-looking books, and obituary actually fell out of one, and she took it inside. I think that was a mistake, but it's none of my business. And she took it inside, and the knocking and name-calling continued. So my grandfather said, I think you should burn the books. And she went to burn them, and someone had carved the word burn on the back of one of the books. The books themselves were including like history of the area and stuff like that. So it was very strange. She never actually did burn the books. She still has them. When my cousins and I would stay over at her house, that was always a something that we'd kind of joke about, like being scared of and joke about reading. But I never wanted to read it, and neither did my cousins. So that's my story. I do have more. Maybe I will call in. Maybe I won't. We'll see. But thank you very much for listening. And I do love your show. I listen to it whenever I'm driving around for work. So thank you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
See, I think that's interesting. Mm. It makes me think that there's a story connected with whatever the spirit is that maybe wants to share the story. Like, this tragic thing happened to me and they're trying to get her attention or something.
Gosh, you would think so. I mean, how much more can you spell it out for someone? Yeah. Here's a book of local history. Here's and the obituary.
Because what I was wanting out of that story was then... I wanted it to focus more on the obituary. The books, if they said burn, I might have burned them.
Oh, but I don't know if it was local history.
Yeah. I think I would have done a little dive into this obituary and figured out what that was. Because I always think if you're a spirit that left this world in a tragic way, murdered or something happened to you and nobody knows... Or somebody got away with it. Right. I would never be able to rest in peace. I would want...
You're just trying to right a wrong, maybe.
Yeah. I wouldn't want people to know that son of a bitch did this to me. And I want the whole world to know that. And and the fact that, you know, the woman was hearing her name, it's like somebody's trying to get your attention. And then you find an obituary. So I wanted the story to like, and here's who the obituary was about. That's what I wanted
to
hear.
And it just feels like if these books have local history in it, maybe somewhere in the books there's more information about this thing.
That's what I think. I'm like, there's got to be another part to this story.
How do you, I don't think it could get that any more cut and dried than that. We got knocking on the windows and doors, which is creepy. We've got whisperings of your name. We've got all these things going on. That isn't getting your attention. Well, here's the obituary. Here's the history books you can read up on this. I mean, I don't know how it gets more just blatant than...
I just want more story to that.
Maybe, maybe not. It has something to do with these burial grounds. I guess my question is, could you build a house if you knew it was on an ancient burial ground?
I couldn't.
I don't think I could. I don't think I could build the house to begin with if I knew that. Now, maybe they didn't discover it till they were in the process of building it. You know what I mean? And they start digging things up.
And she was out there working in the garden. Mm. And then it's like trying to get her attention.
Yeah.
And then they did. But did she do what? I just feel like the spirit wanted her to do something that she didn't do.
Me too. I think there's still time.
Yeah.
I think,
The obituary? No. Whose obituary was it?
And what was in the books that might tell you what the problem was?
Oh, that's a funny one because I'm like, it's creepy, but there's more.
But it's creepy, but I feel like, you know, you've been given these pieces.
Yeah.
Start putting it together.
Well, we've got one more, and it says, this isn't a ghost story, but it is very freaky. I live in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Last summer after church, I needed to quickly stop at the pharmacy. It was a beautifully clear, sunny day, and my four teenagers and I were really enjoying the day. We were listening to a CD by a Christian band called The Newsboys, specifically a song called We Believe, which is a powerful anthem about Christian faith. My kids were singing along and goofing around, and as I began to turn right at the intersection, my eyes automatically focused on a small blue car that was stopped at a red light. The car was directly in my line of vision as my car slowly turned right. Driving the blue car was a short, dark-haired woman who was looking forward, but as I started to turn, she slowly turned her head and made direct eye contact with me and continued to follow the movement of my car by turning her head. never breaking eye contact with me. This wouldn't have seemed that weird, except for the woman's mouth. Which is a very strange sentence. Okay. She smiled slowly, first with her mouth closed, but then her mouth pulled into an open grimace or smile, I don't know which. And then in caps, all of her teeth were long, pointy fangs, and her mouth appeared way too large for her face. The sides of her mouth were open almost all the way back to her ears. It sounds like the Joker.
Ooh.
You know, like the way he smiles? She literally looked like something you would see on the TV show Supernatural. This was not a mask. Instantly, my heart started pounding and I was scared. I don't know how, but I just felt this sense of evil or maliciousness coming from it as it stared into my eyes. I felt like slow motion as she stared at me. I was freaking out, but immediately tried to rationalize this in my head. I could not talk myself out of what I'd seen, and so I asked my kids, "Did you see that?" I heard three kids say no, but the fourth, who was my very mature 17-year-old daughter, said, "You mean that freaky lady in the car? I thought I was imagining it or hallucinating or something. I was afraid to say anything." I encouraged her to tell us what she had seen, which was exactly what I had seen. She was frightened too, shaking, trying to convince us she wasn't making it up. I then described what I saw and told her I believed her. She said she felt like it, the woman, was trying to scare us. Neither of us saw anyone else at the intersection notice this woman. My daughter wondered if the woman was something evil that was reacting to the song we had been singing. That seemed like a good idea to me. I can't imagine how something evil would hate that song and us for singing and believing it. I have no idea what this was, but I will go to my grave remembering that face. Melissa. What the hell you think they saw?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. So if it was just the teeth and maybe a big mouth thing, you know, people do weird things. Like, there are people that purposely get their teeth pointed, that would do that on purpose, that go out and make, the, you know, mm-hmm. have that done, or have, you know, caps put on their teeth so that they look a certain pointy way or whatever. Or, you know, there's people that want to look like a dragon and they get their teeth done so they get, you know, people do
snakes.
These things, right? Yeah. And so you could say that maybe she was a weird woman, like the pointy teeth thing, and then did that just to freak him out, to show him her teeth like that. But it sounded like the way she opened her mouth was additionally weird.
Yeah, she said, like, because the way she described the smile looked like the Joker when it just takes over his entire face.
And so that was when it got weirder for me. Because I could blame it on just somebody wanting pointy teeth or to have a snake bite or whatever people will do. But that I can't explain.
And I would
and the fact
write
the
it
daughter
off.
Saw it.
Yeah. I'd write it off if it wasn't for the daughter seeing it too. I would be like, oh, I just obviously something weird happened in my brain.
Or maybe, you know, the window and looking through the window and there was a weird shadow and it made it look like her face got big, you know, like if you drive past and maybe you're getting a reflection that's making something look, you know, altered or whatever.
Ugh. I don't like it. That was not good. But that last thing Melissa said, I have no idea what this was, but I will go to my grave remembering that face.
Mm-hmm.
That left an imprint on Melissa. I don't know what that was.
Well, you know, you and I have talked before too about, like, is that really a person? Like, you know, you go around in this world and there's thousands and millions of people everywhere that are all, you know, we talk about, was that really a person standing there? Because, you know, sometimes they're there and then they're gone and you just think, well, whatever, they moved or whatever. Were they?
Mm-hmm. Were they ever there?
Were they? You don't know. We don't know, right? you know, are we infiltrated with that? Who knows, with other beings? Is this one of those things?
I don't know.
You know,
that was creepy.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that would be reassuring. I don't know if I'd be reassured that my daughter saw that, or bothered even more that my daughter also saw that, because it'd be one thing to go, whoa, what the heck? My eyes are playing tricks on me. But then when someone else is like, I saw it too. Oh, shit. My eyes aren't playing tricks on me.
No,
that really just happened. Crap. So I don't know. No. I think I'd feel better about it had nobody else seen it. Then you could just dismiss
it. Then you just go, oh, it must have just been the way the light was hitting the windows and the car reflections or whatever.
Exactly.
You know.
But now poor Melissa will go to her grave remembering that face. And I'm sorry to hear that. So if you have a real ghost story, we'd love to hear it. Call it in 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And remember, if you'd like an ad-free version of the show with advanced episodes and access to the complete archive, then become a premium subscriber. Sign up today through Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free there. You could also go to patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.